I appreciate Brother Bob's words this morning and the boldness in which he proclaimed what we believe to be the truth. What a blessing indeed it is to hear someone tell things like they are. I know I've said this before, but let me say it again because I believe it to be true. But sometimes people say things in a manner in which makes you question whether or not they really believe what they just said. And I believe Brother Bob believes the things that he just said to us. I believe he believes them from his heart. I believe not only that from what I've known in Bible discussions with him, but I've seen him walk those words that we've just heard. And so I am thankful for that. I want to draw your attention this morning to James chapter 1. And it is certainly along the same lines of what we've already heard. But I want to read in particular 5 verses from James chapter 1, starting with verse 21 and reading through verse 25. The word of the Lord says in James chapter 1 and verse 21, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." The book of James, if I can compare it to something, is a lot like a New Testament version of the book of Proverbs in the Old Testament. It's a book about godly instruction, godly walk. You know, one of the things that if you want to do your child, one of the greatest benefits that you can do them is establish them to learn the book of Proverbs and to study the book of Proverbs. And a New Testament book that you can compare to that is the book of James. Because James, as being the scripture opens up in verse 1 of James 1, as being a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice he didn't mention his earthly relationship to him. He says, "I'm his servant." And in this book of servitude, he tells the tribes who have scattered how to walk the walk. This is where the rubber meets the road. He said, this is a show me book. This is not only a book about learning, it's a book about showing who you are, showing what the Lord has done to you. He says, this is not a litmus test for becoming a child of God. This is a litmus test so that others will identify you as a child of God. Show me that faith without works is dead, is what he says in James chapter 2. This is a book about showing what the Lord has done for you. But he says in order to be able to do this, that you've got to lay some stuff aside. Brother Bob's already mentioned some of that this morning whenever he talks about, spoke on the subject of pornography. And let me tell you this, if there's a subject that needs to be spoken about in terms of the dangers of, that's one thing that needs to continuously be established to the Lord's people, of the dangers of the filth involved in that. Because so many marriages these days, and so many young people are taken aside by that sin. And it is a sin. It's an abomination in the eyes of God. What, and you say, "Well, I'm not literally performing it." It's naughtiness. It's an abundance of naughtiness. He says, "Lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness." It's an abundance of naughtiness. And that's what the Lord says. You've got to lay aside all those things. Notice he says, he doesn't say just kind of do them every once in a while. He says you got to lay them aside. You got to do away with some of these things and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. I tell you, we believe in a word this morning. 2 different types of words that are able to save your souls. We believe in the living word of God. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The living word of God is that which dwells in the heart of a child of God And it saves a child whenever the Lord comes and dwells within it. But this is talking about an engrafted word. This is talking about another word. There's different words of that are listed in the Scriptures. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's the written word of truth in that particular verse. But in this verse that we've read to you, he says, lay aside all these things and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. That's the preached word, because again, the context he's talking about being a hearer and a doer. What do we hear? We hear the preached word. So does the preached word, you say, Brother Will, does the preached word, does somebody preaching the gospel to me, is that what saves my soul to heaven? No. But there's a salvation for your soul in the doing of and taking heed unto the words that are preached unto you. And that is that you don't just hear them, but that you literally do the things that are spoken of in God's word. Whenever the Lord comes down from on high and blesses a man of God to preach the gospel of instruction and godly living unto a man, he says, don't be a hearer of the word only, but be a doer of it. Follow it. You know, when you're a hearer, these verses teach us that you can be a hearer and not a doer. You know, there's a lot of people who believe, well, if you're truly a child and can hear, then you'll truly do. No, let me tell you, you can be a hearer and be hard-hearted and stubborn and not be a doer. If you couldn't, then it wouldn't tell you not to be it. The Lord's words never told you not to be something that you couldn't be. You ever thought about that? A lot of people would say there's no way people can be that way. Well, there's no reason why that for the God to mention the warnings of being it if there's no way that you can be it. He says to not be a hearer only, but to be a doer of the word. That is, that you hear what the word of God is that's being preached unto you. It's an engrafted word. Whenever you graft something, you attach something to something that's already there. We know of a skin graft. Whenever you hear of the term skin graft, what happens in a skin graft? They take some skin from somewhere else and attach it to skin that's already there. It's a graft. And the engrafted word is the preached word. That is that the word that comes out of a gospel minister's mouth and grafts itself to the word of God that dwells in your heart, that the Lord has already placed there by His sovereign will, and it was not put there by man. But the Lord says that if you'll lay aside these things, if you'll with an attitude of meekness listen to the preached word of God, it'll save your soul. It'll save your soul. It'll deliver you from a lot of trouble in this world. And I tell you, child of grace, today He says, be a doer and not a hearer only. Because a man that is only a hearer, He likens them unto a man. He says in verse 23, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. That means you look at, you know, the term glass here is used to describe a mirror. A mirror is glass. And you say, well, is it a glass or a mirror? Well, a mirror is glass. And it is a man who looks at himself in a mirror. And so whenever he hears the preached word and he hears the gospel minister, he knows that he needs to take heed unto himself. He sees himself listed in the word. Have you ever wondered whenever you've shown up to church and the gospel minister touches on something that's been on your heart and mind during the week? And you ever wonder, how did he know that? How did he know that I've been struggling with these things? How did he know that I've been reading this verse? How does he know those things? I don't. Brother Bob doesn't. I don't. And the few times I've tried to become an investigator and dig in, boy, I've gotten my hand slapped hard. I tell you what, it's better for me just not to know. And that is just to preach what the Lord has put on my mind. And it's He that knows. He is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's the living word. That's not my job. That's the Lord's job. And if I'll follow what He lays upon my heart to preach unto you, and that is that you see how to apply it. That is that you see how it applies to your life. And the man who looks in the mirror sees himself. But what does he do whenever he leaves that mirror? He never applies any changes unto it. He leaves the house with his hair in a wreck, if you will. That's what he says in verse 24. For he beholdeth himself. He sees where it applies unto him. But what does he do? It says, and he goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. He makes no apprehension. He hears it. And he says, this is how it applies to my life. I know the Lord's blessed this man to preach these things unto me. But I'm just going to go on and keep doing things the same way I've always done them. I'm just going to go ahead and keep living the same way. Keep doing the same things. The Lord here has said, you don't want to do that. You don't want to be a hearer only. You want to be a doer. You know, one of the greatest examples, I believe, in Scripture of a man that followed this line of thought and was a hearer only But what a doer is a man that we read about in our morning readings this morning, if you follow the calendar that we have. And his name is Jehoshaphat. His name was Jehoshaphat. He was a king of Judah. I like to call him what the preacher told me he labeled him as, and I thought, well, that's a good label. Whenever somebody gives me a bullet that'll shoot in my gun, I'll load my gun with it. He called him a compromising king. And that's exactly what I think Jehoshaphat was. He was one who just wanted to go along and get along with everything that was going on. Look back with me back in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. We'll start there and just mention a few things about the life of Jehoshaphat. We'll actually start in chapter 19. If we go back, and I'm not going to do it, but if you go back to the book of 1 Kings chapter 22, what you'll read about is Jehoshaphat's alignment with a king named Ahab from Israel. And how the Lord's already scorned him for that through the mouthpiece of a man named Micaiah. Because if you'll remember the story from 1 Kings chapter 22, and you say, Brother Will, it's not a good thing to mention chapters now unless you're going to go through it and go and show us where in that. No, you can read the whole chapter. I don't need to show you specific verses on it, but you can read where the Jehoshaphat literally goes to a wicked king named Ahab, the king of Israel, and he says, thy people be as my people be as thy people, and thy horses as my horses. In other words, we're as one. I tell you, child of grace, today, if you ever take that mindset out into this world and say, I'm as one with the world, you're aligning yourself up for a lot of trouble in this world.
Amen.
Be a doer of that word, not just a hearer only. If you want to align yourself with ways of this world, you'll get yourself in a bunch of trouble. And that's exactly what Jehoshaphat did. If you'll remember, before they went into battle, one of the biggest mockeries I've ever seen a man make of another king in the Word of God is when Ahab comes to Jehoshaphat and he says, you wear your king uniform in battle and I'm going to go in disguise. I tell you what, that's like going turkey hunting with somebody and say, you wear a red bandana and you do the turkey calls and I'll stand behind you and I'll shoot the turkey when he comes out in a crowded wood. What is that going to do? What is he setting himself up? He's setting himself up to be shot. And that's exactly what Ahab was doing to Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat did it. He went into battle that day. As a matter of fact, we read that the other side, whenever they saw Jehoshaphat, they thought he was Ahab. And they followed him. But they ended up, they killed Ahab. And the dogs licked the blood of his chariot that day, just as that prophet had said it would take place. But the Lord here has brought him, he's brought him out of that. And he's lifting him up again. And he tells him here at the beginning of chapter 19, he says in verse 2 through the mouthpiece of Jehu, and Jehu the son of Hananiah the seer went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Lord. Nevertheless, there are good things found in thee, in that thou hast taken away the groves out of the land and hast prepared thy heart to seek God. See, he's mentioning here, he mentions what Jehoshaphat did with Ahab. He says, shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Nevertheless, there's some good things about you. And so he's telling him here, there's some things that the Lord can take and add his blessings to and make something of you, boy. Has your mom or daddy ever told you about that, ever used that terminology with you, that you need to make something of yourself, boy? And you say, that's not a good way to speak to somebody, but I tell you, I don't see a thing in the world wrong with a daddy calling his son boy. And son, make something of yourself, son. And that's what this prophet came to this man. He said, there's some things there. There's some tools to work with. Tell you, Brother Lloyd can probably relate to this. There's probably some people who come and try out for teams there at where you coach. Well, there ain't much to work with. you can't say that in a public school program. You have to work with what you got. But you know, after you see them go a few times, there ain't a whole lot to work with. But that was not Jehoshaphat. This prophet came and he said, there's some good things about you. There's some things to work with there. And I tell you, every born-again child of God that the Lord has changed the heart of, every one of them have got a little bit to work with. They've got something to work with. But here you've got a king who a prophet says, there's some things there that I can use. He says, nevertheless, thou hast prepared thy heart to serve God. There's some things about you that I like. And listen to what this man did with these lessons. Oh, I pray to God that we would have a leader who did the things he did. He goes in verse 5 and it says, and he set judges in the land throughout all the fenced cities of Judah, city by city, and said to the judges, take heed what ye do, for you judge not for man but for the Lord. You judge not for man but for the Lord. I tell you, we all do well to take heed to those words today and saying that we don't do the things that we do for the man, but the things that we do is for the glory of God. And that's exactly what he told these judges.
Amen.
I tell you, would to God that we had some judges who ruled in the fear of God here in this world. You don't judge for man. I tell you, you can twist and turn any document you want to, but if you'll look at that document through the eyes of a living God, you'll get more out of it than you ever thought that you'd get out of it. Did we not just get a whole bucket full of nauseating news this past week of what our judges had determined is okay in this country? It's nauseating, is it not? I tell you, they're not judging in the eyes of the fear of God. They knew that that document was not drafted with that in mind, that sort of foolishness in mind. But nevertheless, this is what their ruling is. But here you got a man who, he came to the judges. And he says, you're not ruling for man. You're ruling in these positions in the fear of God. And he says that he set them in all the cities. He set them there to serve in the capacity that he had put them there to rule in the fear of God. He said, wherefore now let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Take heed and do it, for there is no iniquity with the Lord our God, nor respect of persons, nor taking of gifts. Nor taking of gifts. I tell you, you have to be careful with what you'll let somebody do for you. This scripture teaches us that he that receives gifts can become void of judgment. That doesn't mean that you can't. It just means you have to be careful with how you receive them. I see here a man who's ruling in the fear of God, don't you? A man named Jehoshaphat. And you say, well, Brother Will, you said he's a hearer of the word and not a doer. Sounds like to me like he's doing it. Well, he is. I tell you, not only through this, not only in the establishment of the judges, is he a doer of the word. But we read further down in chapter 20 that there were some other forces who came up against him. And who came and who were going to overtake him. It said, the scripture describes them as being children of Moab and the children of Ammon. And with them, beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat in the battle. He had a whole group of people, a whole multitude of different countries and nationalities that were coming to war with him. And the Lord, through the mouthpiece of a man, let me call his name. He's listed in verse 14 of chapter 20. And I know I'm not going to get it. I thought I had it this morning whenever I read through it. But I tell you, that southern drawl tongue comes out every time I get before the Lord's people. And I cannot pronounce some of these old Jewish names in here. But it's Jehaziel in verse 14. The scripture says he's a son of a Levitical priest. And that man stood up in the congregation of the Lord's house. And as a prophet, he told Jehoshaphat, he said, take no fear, but the Lord is going to deliver these ones into you in the battle. He's going to give these ones who are coming up against you. He's going to deliver them. He's going to save your soul. Is that not an application of the verse that we read from James chapter 1? He says that you're going to have your earthly life saved because the Lord is going to deliver you in the midst of this battle. I tell you, child of grace, today there's not a battle that you face here in this world where our Lord is shorthanded and cannot deliver you through it. It doesn't matter what illness, it doesn't matter what challenge, whether it doesn't matter how young, doesn't matter how old. Our God is able. We serve a God that is able. We serve a God that is powerful. And this same God blessed a man to stand up in the midst of the congregation to tell this to the congregation that the Lord is going to deliver these people into our hands. You know, I want to read a few verses in before we look at how he was not a doer, but he became one that was just a hearer. But before we do, let's read what exactly how the Lord delivered these ones into his hand. It says in I'm going to read verses 20 and 21. And I know it's a lot of reading, but stay with me and read through it. I'm so thankful to see here in the midst of the battle that Jehoshaphat, he conducted a song service to praise to God. I tell you, if you ever need a pick me up and ever need a moment of encouragement, I think this is a perfect example of something that's encouraging to do. A singing of songs. You know, did not David use that method whenever he was down and out? He used the singing of songs. Here you got a king. Before he goes to battle, he calls the people out to sing songs before they go into battle. Can you imagine what the people thought if they saw the army that they were fixing to go up against singing a song, singing a spiritual song? What would you do if you were on the other side of a battle and you were a heathen? Can you imagine the mindset that they had? We're about to go up against a bunch of choir boys. Would be the, you know, what if before a football game on Friday night you saw the people over on the other sideline singing songs? I tell you, this has got from a worldly point of view, well, there's no other word that comes. This has got sissy written all over it. That's all that's written upon this whenever you see these things. But you're reading about one is trusting in the Lord in a spiritual battle. And he says in verse 20, and they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of, I pronounce that Tekoa, just like Tekoa, Georgia, but I may be wrong about that. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. Here you got a man who a couple of years ago in his reign upon Judah was aligning himself with a wicked king. But here you've got a man who he stands in the midst of the people that he rules over that the Lord has put him over. And he's now saying, hear the prophets. Hear what the Lord has sent unto you. He's standing before them, encouraging them in the battle. And that's a gospel minister's job today. Encouraging people in their battles here in this world. Listen to what the Lord has got is teaching you. And he says, and when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord. And it should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and to say, praise the Lord for his mercy endureth forever. He encouraged the people with song. And they were delivered. As a matter of fact, they never even had to lift a hand to fight the battle. They were delivered. The Lord turned the enemies that were going to fight against them against one another to the point that one side of them was slew. They thought they had aligned themselves with the Israelites, and so they got in a war with themselves. And all the Israelites did is gather on top of the hill and look at all the spoil. And the scripture says that they came and they took the spoil. There was more spoil on the ground that they could take back to their own camp. I tell you, the Lord is, a lot of times we want to interject our own hand into things, but every once in a while, if we'll just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Now, I don't say that in every case that the Lord tells you to stand still. There's some things that the Lord tells you to get busy doing and get busy doing it now. But in this case, he says, stand still and let me take care of these things for you. There's some battles that are too big for us, but they're not too big for our Lord. And he laid these ones aside, sent them at battle against each other, and they came and they took more spoil back with them than they could. They had more spoil on the ground than they could take back with them. And you say, well, Brother Will, it sounds to me like you're reading about one who's hearing and doing. Look at the end of his life. At the end of his life. It's listed in at the end of chapter 20, verses 35 through 37. We read what Jehoshaphat did toward the end of his life. It says, and after this did Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, join himself with Ahaziah, king of Israel, who did very wickedly. You know, so many times it's so frustrating to a pastor, to a mama, and to a daddy, and to anybody else who has love for somebody, to see somebody be blessed in something and then to see them turn back to where they received so much hardship in times past. Isn't it frustrating? It's so frustrating to see somebody who turned their life around and who God was blessing and who God was just guiding and leading their every step. And then all of a sudden, they don't want to go that way anymore. They'd rather turn and go back in the direction in which the Lord had blessed them to turn from. Boy, that's disheartening. Wouldn't it be disheartening to see your child in such a way? Wouldn't it be, it's disheartening for God to see one of his children in such a way. And that's what Jehoshaphat did. He's going back to where he was before the Lord changed his walk, before the Lord brought him to be a blessed leader of the people of Judah. He's going back to leading the same way he used to. But be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. But Jehoshaphat, he aligned himself with Ahaziah. Not only here can you read about the wickedness of that man, but you can go back to the book of 2 Kings and you can read about the wickedness of that man. He's a wicked man. But he says that he joined himself with him to make ships to go to Tarshish. That should ring a bell. And they made the ships in Ezion Geber. And it says at the end, the verse 37, it says, and the ships were broken that they were not able to go to Tarshish. He wasn't blessed to fulfill that end. He thought he could align himself with the king of Israel and gain great enterprise for Judah. But the Lord says they never made it. They never made it. Because I tell you, the Lord, at times he's long suffering. And even though he's closed the door, he'll leave a hinge on there for it to open a little bit. But there's times when the Lord's long-suffering runs out. He not only will bolt the door shut, he'll put up a wall where there used to be a door. And he won't allow it to move forward anymore. And that's what happened with this king. The book of James is a book about how to walk. And the scripture says, receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. And be a doer and not a hearer only. The last verse I read to you says that whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. The Lord says if you'll not only be a hearer but a doer, you'll be blessed in your deeds. I tell you, I need the Lord to bless my deeds. I need the Lord to bless me as a pastor. I need the Lord to bless me in my occupation during the week. I need the Lord to bless me as a daddy, as a husband. I need that. And be it far from me if I ever got to the point in my life where I thought I didn't need God to bless me in those capacities. We need Him. And you say, well, Brother Will, I know I need Him. How do I be a doer of the Word and not a hearer only? I tell you, it's good to come to the house of God on Sunday to get your refreshing and to get your encouragement, to praise God. First of all, that's our first reason for being here, to praise our God in heaven who has done so much for us. But I tell you, if we leave and we never apply anything, even if we're able to understand how to apply, and we never apply, we become just a hearer. We become a clog in the road, if you will, of somebody that's blocking and heeding progress. But if we'll do what we hear and become those that don't take advantage, you know, when the Scripture here says that that if we'll look into the perfect law of liberty, a lot of people look at the law of liberty and say, that means I can do anything. No, that's not what the law of liberty is teaching us. That law of liberty means that we'll do what we should do. That's what the perfect law of liberty is. That's not taking the grace of God and turning it into lasciviousness, as the book of Jude warns us about. You know, I want to close by looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. That's where I'm gonna close this morning. But because the Apostle Paul mentions here about a salvation that they can have in the gospel. He says in verses 1 and 2, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain." You say, how do I believe in vain? That's what we just touched on for the rest of the course of it. You believe in vain if you only hear it and don't do it. That's how you believe in vain. This is a salvation. This is a memory salvation. This is not eternal salvation. This is talking about now salvation. Now, here in this world. I tell you, praise God that the Lord has given light to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ to be able to differentiate between those two. I tell you, if you try to apply this, then there's not a way in the world that you can ever have anybody in heaven who's lost their mind. There's no way to get them there, because they've forgotten what they've heard their whole life. So that means they must not be saved, right? Well, they're not in the way of this context of this verse. But he says, unless you have believed in vain. That is, unless you believed and said, I believe these things, but yet I don't want to walk in them. That's believing in vain. May the Lord bless us to put aside these things and with a meek attitude walk with the wisdom that God has given us, that He's given us not only in the book of Proverbs and James. You know, so often as I think about this whole book is a book of wisdom. As Brother Bob said, this whole book is a newsletter of wisdom. I'm not trying to put the book of Proverbs and James above them, but I hope you understand what I mean, that there's an application of wisdom there that you can gather a little bit easier, if you will, than from some of the other books in the Bible. But he says here for us to take heed unto his word. Let's don't be as one that just looks in the mirror and makes no changes. It doesn't mean let's not be one that sees how we should take heed and not take heed. I thank you for your kind, sweet attention this morning.